All right, so you got different types of construction.
All right, yeah.
Okay, so you got masonry, which is
tough.
It's really tough.
That is tough.
Yeah, so we're going to try to talk around that. We'll reference it.
Okay, well, no, let's...
Because I think it's important, but...
Well, no, but here's a good thing. Because we're on the Green Building Advisor,
yep.
I could say, I remember it was either John Straub or Joe Stiebruck. There was an excellent 10-minute podcast that I think it was Joe did about masonry and how much you can... Because you run into the problem of insulating masonry to the interior where...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can move
beautiful
the
brick and you just don't want to mess with it.
Right, right. And you can move the point at which frost forms, you know, within the outer withe of brick. And so now you can actually start popping out the brick. You can damage the brick by moving that frost line into that assembly. So you want to consult an expert with masonry. How about I leave it at that?
I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
And I would also argue for things that are large masonry buildings, unless they're large masonry buildings, I should say.
Yeah.
And if they're smaller, or if they're historic, for instance,
mm-hmm.
you have to renovate to the interior or add insulation to the interior, you may reach a point of diminishing returns.
Right.
So I don't always want to say that because you really still want to try to do the best you can with the existing building
exactly.
stock.
Exactly. Yep.
Because there are certain things that happen. When you start adding insulation to the interior, for instance, you've got a historic building and you've got a historic trim.
Yeah.
That's one. It's a small building. Your rooms get smaller. That's two.
Yeah.
You've got a stair to the exterior wall coming up from the basement and you're trying to add 4 inches of rigid insulation or 2 inches of whatever.
And you got code
to a stair that code yeah. And the stair's already 2'8" wide because it's an old stair.
Right.
Forget it. You're going to have to.
And if you're doing windows, dude, I did a, you know, we were getting historic tax credits on a big masonry. Old historic, you know, registered historic building. And, you know, they wanted to keep the wood windows, you know, refurbish the wood windows, put storms on it. That was a big can of worms, continues to be a can of worms for the whole, because, you know, there's one side that says, yeah, you're going to protect the windows by putting the storms on them. You get like an R2 or something like that. And then you got one camp who's like, yeah, we want that energy profile that's more robust and substantial. And then there's the whole, well, do you get condensation on the storms, and does that rot out your wood windows? All that jazz. I'm off on a tangent, aren't I?
No.
Reel me in, buddy.
It's all complex stuff. I started to go off on another tangent where I saw a presentation of a project that Mark Rosenbaum, a mechanical engineer.
I've heard of that guy.
We all know and love.
Yeah.
Mark Dunway actually put another window to the exterior of an existing window, at least muck up the interior.
Yeah.
Of the existing historic structure.
Right. A lot of times if you can...
Interesting.
Yeah, if you can
two
save
windows,
the
right?
Window.
One after the other.
Wow.
Both double hunks.
That's brilliant, I think, actually. Because then you preserve.
Yeah.
You preserve the history.
Yeah.
But you just... Okay.
But it's thinking. It's hard work.
Yeah.
All these puzzles. We should look at this as a challenge that excites us. And that's something that architects are always probably going to have to be involved in.
Yeah.
I dare say that, but...
It's the future, isn't
not
it,
that
buddy?
Builders can think. I do not mean that. Not at all. It's really going to be a team effort.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's big things involved here.
So let's talk about stick frame.
Let's talk about stick frame. Thank you.
Because
I think we can. I think there's been more. I think it's safe to say that there's been more
stick
framed
yeah.
deep energy retrofits.
Exactly. So let's. Where do you want to start?
I want to start with the walls.
Start with the walls.
Easiest.
Okay.
Okay. Let's add insulation to the exterior. What does that look like?
Well, it's probably polyiso rigid foam board.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably that stuff is taken off pretty quickly, that tough, by the Dow foil face stuff. And that's great because it's nice and rigid,
mm-hmm.
and you got that R7 per inch. So you, in 2 inches, you can add R14 to your wall assembly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you seal it up, tape it up pretty well, then you get your remote system, very similar to like you and I talked about in a previous
mm-hmm.
podcast. Please,
right.
you know, dig into those archives. You can listen to us go on about that. But then what you're doing is you're freshening up the outside of your house, and you're not messing up your electrical, plumbing, heaven forbid it's in your exterior wall. If it is, then you're certainly helping the situation here. But all your nice trim work and finishes to the inside are being saved. Unless, of course, Phil, you've got the old poly vapor barrier in there, in which case you're going to have yourself a double, you're going to have a vapor sandwich. So I think it's probably time to start talking about, all right, you know, when you do this, you got to have that moisture migration profile, the moisture profile of your wall assembly. Draw that line upon which you are inhibiting the vapor from passing from one side to the other. If you find yourself drawing two, oops, mamacita. You got to make sure you've got a way for that to dry out. So yeah,
that's the biggest fear, really, of what can go wrong, because you don't really know what's in those walls. You better do a hell of a lot of demo. When I saw Peter Yost with Green Building Advisor and the Smart Building Science, et cetera, guy in Vermont, he was practically pumping his fist, saying, vapor profile, say it with me, folks, at NESE this year. Wow. I'm like, oh, yeah, who doesn't know what that is? This is exactly what you're talking about, Chris.
Exactly, yeah.
You got to make sure this wall can still dry out. We can have complex wall sections now if we're not careful.
Exactly. And so the first thing you do is get out that hammer, get out that Sawzall, be brave, find out, you know, if you already know this wall's going, or like you're doing that renovation, you know, or man, cut into it, look at it, find out what you've got, you know, how bad is the situation? Do you have a sheet of plastic in there? Do you have nothing in there? Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing.
Yeah,
you
it's
have.
Better, isn't it?
It's awesome. If you've got,
I'm glad I've been suffering for the last 5 years that I've been in this crummy house.
Exactly, with no insulation. Because, dude, now instead of that foam, maybe you're going to do a Larson truss. Maybe you're going to do a double wall kind of thing. Maybe it's to the exterior. Maybe it's to the interior. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But now you can do cellulose. You can just, you know, pack that with what I consider to be about the greenest insulation there is. But that was a bold statement. Yeah. But yeah. I'll say it.
Well, let's talk. I think you're right on about the vapor profile. You look at it carefully.
Yeah.
You know, look at the perms for each piece of material that's in there. Make sure you got that drying potential. But in terms of insulation in the exterior, let's talk about some other ways to do it.
Okay.
Again, we're just figuring this out. There have not been thousands and thousands of deep energy retrofits. There's thousands of green buildings now. LEED
has
gone out and labeled
zillions
of those
millions,
things.
Millions.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Anybody can be LEED right now. You know, it's LEED subway.
That's old hat. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. but a deep energy retrofit, you know,
that's fun. Yeah.
We're still scratching our heads about these things. Some smart people that I've seen have done Larson trusses of the exterior. They have done spray foam.
Oh, on the exterior?
On the exterior. They've left shingles in place. Why not encapsulate them? Why do you have to take off all the shingles before you screw something, screw rigid insulation on
the
top?
Oh, dude, you're blowing my mind.
Yeah.
So what?
What's cheap and easy here?
Well, but then you better be able to dry to the interior.
You better be.
Because otherwise, you've got yourself a wood sandwiched in a nice little hermetic...
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You have to be careful.
See, but you've actually seen this?
Oh, yeah. Of... Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I've seen it. And one that was particularly interesting was to the outside of a shingle frame, a shingled house, they used 2x nailers. They set them off the house 4 inches with rigid foam. So zero thermal bridging.
Oh, wow. So they're using foam as strapping?
Foam as a spacer.
Oh, wow.
And then 2x vertical strapping on top of that. And they put a SIP screw through the 2x, through the several inches of foam, through the shingles, and sheathing into the studs,
into the studs.
Yeah, so these things are just hanging on in a flimsy way to the outside of the structure. Then you just go and fill up that whole cavity with closed cell foam. You create yourself a nice little thermos, which is what we're trying to do anyway. You encapsulate those old shingles. They don't go anywhere to any sort of landfill.
I don't know, man. That just makes me... I feel funny about that.
Yeah. Have another drink.
Maybe it is the drink. I'm almost down to it. I know. So, what else can you... Well, I mean, that's a good point.
Fascinating, isn't it?
No. It is. I mean, because why... I said 2 inches of rigid foam. Really, why stop there?
Well, go to four.
Go to four. Find out what your profile... Because we got these awesome SIP screws like that you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. They're kind of revolutionizing how far can you... Can you strap this stuff? Mm-hmm. And the polyiso is very, I mean, as a rigid foam, it's very rigid. It's hard to, you know, compress it to a point where it's problematic. So you can get 4 inches out there, mm-hmm. you know, have your exterior out that far. You can tape it up, seal it up really nice.
Yeah.
Lee? Nicely?
Real nice-like.
Yeah, I know. I dropped the... Up here in Maine, it's a trend to drop the adverb, the Lee. So, you know, you drive safe, you know, Lee. I can't help it, but... All right, moving on. People up here all the Mainers are like, yeah, we know.
That was wicked good.
That was wicked good? You like that? Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, so...
You want to talk more about exterior of the wall?
No, I want to talk a little bit about the windows.
Oh, boy.
Because really, that's... You look at it and you see a wall section. You say, all right, I can throw 4 inches of foam on this thing. I can handle that.
Yeah.
That's not the tricky part. Whereas we referenced this before. I think it was a Hot Zig of an earlier episode. If somebody figures out
how to handle windows with
a window buck that extends 4 inches to handle this rigid foam.
Right.
Because really, that's the tricky thing.
Yeah.
You're sticking these windows, especially if you have you've got your any window versus Audi window.
Yeah.
If you've got to create window bucks that you actually have solid framing that you can stick to the window to the exterior of your 4-inch window buck, so it's essentially flush with the rigid insulation coming into it on all sides.
And you got to seal that puppy too.
You got to seal it really well, and it's a funny looking thing that you've just created. That's what does it look? You know, is it 2x that's sticking out on all sides? Is it 3/4-inch? Plywood with some sort of nailer that's a 2x nailer that's a stiffener, so you have some way to nail the trim on the side.
Yeah.
Or hold the window flanges.
Yeah, we're inventing this stuff in the field. Or you and I are coming up with details, and just like all these other architects.
Yeah, I've seen 10 different ways to handle this.
Exactly. So one day, your dream of a unified window buck theory will
dream, Chris.
It'll be awesome.
It's more of a modest dream.
It is a modest dream, yeah. But I'm not going to march on Washington for you.
No, that's...
I'm sorry. I might write a letter, maybe, after another one of these drinks, but all right.
We're going to march on Augusta.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
Take you to the state.
That's right.
I mean, sometimes the rafters, the roof and the rafters, sometimes this is easier because sometimes we're re-roofing. And a lot of times we're re-roofing in this scenario. And so a lot of times we've got the ability to add to the exterior of your sheathing. You can just add like a whole sit panel assembly.
That's right.
Sometimes you've got, if you're here in Maine or New England, let's say, or even along the East Coast, where you may have a 200-year-old house. It's possible out there, guys. You could have that where you've got these, you know, 2x4s every...
Right.
Every 24 inches.
2x4 is at 36 inches on center.
Exactly. Or whenever, you know. And and it's just, I see stuff like that. I just put my hand on the shoulder of the client and say, I'm sorry.
But I have to leave right now.
It's like, we have to bring in an engineer. And when we do, your whole roof is going to change. But that may not be the case across the U.S. I mean, you're going to have, real rafter cavities that you can fill with cellulose. You might have an attic situation that you can just
load that cellulose
load
up.
That thing in. And so there's a myriad
R
of ways.
R60, R80, R all of it.
R all of it. R100 or whatever, I don't know.
R100%. Yeah.
So I think I'm assuming rafters in all these scenarios. So
yeah, we're talking about stick frame.
Stick frame. So you can either increase the rafter depth and change out the installation or insulation,
But the interesting thing that you bring up about the roof, because there are several ways of doing this. If you can add the cellulose inside, it's fine, it's great. But most times, I think you're going to be adding stuff on top, whether you said that it's SIPs, or whether that's rigid insulation,
right,
or a combination of rigid, and you can get a little bit more cellulose. Something still as funny is going to happen to that roof, because if you're adding a chunk to that wall, you're bumping at that wall 4 inches, suddenly your roof edge, that eave condition, is going to look really dumb.
You better have an architect.
You better. You're right.
Exactly. I mean, because that's the type of thing you conceptualize, and if you just let the builder run with it, you get that phone call. Hey,
This looks funny, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So this is an interesting thing. I want to share this with you, Chris, because we just learned this and looked into it in detail.
I love stories like this. Is this a lesson learned story?
But before it was too late.
Okay. Lucky. Great, hit me. I'm sitting back. Go for it.
we had the idea that on this roof, we were just going to, why put sips? Why can't we just put nail base? Nail base is essentially chunk of rigid insulation with sheathing on one side.
Okay.
Because you're nailing it on top of a roof which has sheathing already, right?
I'm
so
with
why
you.
Not? Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Why not?
So let's just do that.
Okay.
We'll save some time and money. Not if you want overhangs. Nail base is not meant to cantilever. Because it's not structural in the same way.
Because there's nothing
structural
on one side.
Insulated panels. Nail base doesn't get to use the R or doesn't get to use the S.
Well, I see.
It doesn't get to use the structural part because it's just not.
Right.
So
it's just an IP.
Right. So it's just an IP. Right. So if you say, all right, well, let's just use sips around the edge of the building and fill the rest in with nail base. Oh, yeah, that's another good idea. But then you have to add 3/4 inch of
something.
Sheathing additionally to fur it up, in which case you're at
might
a
as
sip,
well.
Right.
Right. Because you don't want to do strapping, because if you do that, then you've got little air channels.
Right.
The end at your sips.
Then you're in trouble. So.
Well, that's a fun progression of.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, so don't bother with nail base because it sounds like a good idea. But if anyone knows a better idea, a way to use it, I'd love to hear it. But we couldn't figure it out with real overhangs.
You couldn't figure it out? We're doomed.
I can't figure it out, then. I imagine my kids just might be able to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time. Give them some time.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the foundation.
Okay.
A couple ways of doing this.
All right. You're probably doing everything to the interior. Not necessarily, because this is the time to really investigate. It is one of those, it depends on what you have scenarios, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, well, I would argue that I don't think it would necessarily be most of the time that you would do to the interior.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are we going to argue?
We are going to have a conversation.
I am
you little.
Yeah, you.
Why, I ought
to. Yeah. Wait, we're going to go to, we're going to take a short break. Phil and I will arm wrestle, and we'll let you know who wins.
Okay.
This has been the Green Architects Lounge. No, I'm kidding. I'm dying. You know I can't.
Are we really taking a break?
No. Well, we will in a second.
Okay.
But we'll arm wrestle during the break.
Okay.
And we'll see who wins.
All right.
Although I got sick, my arm's been killing me.
Yeah, you're already with the excuses.
Yeah.
It didn't really take long for you to.
I was sick a while back. Yeah. I haven't really recovered.
You look a little weak to me.
Yeah, well, you look. Okay.
Right,
what were we talking about?
We were talking about the foundation. Yeah. Okay, so foundation insulation.
Yeah.
So here's the thing that's going on.
All right.
Hey, yeah, you can do it to the inside. Was it a rubble wall? Who knows what it is? You probably do spring foam if it's something funky on the inside, but you still have to deal with all your mechanicals and pipes and all that junk that's on the inside of your basement wall.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it to the outside, you got to dig.
That's right.
But the thing that may be a good idea, you're adding 4 inches of rigid insulation to the exterior of this thing anyway.
Right.
So you got this funny shelf that sticks way out
there, yeah.
So why not just keep it flush all the way into the ground or close to it?
Well, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would say that makes sense. If you are going to take care of some moisture problems, mm-hmm. if you're going to do some dewatering of your site,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to, I don't know, because there are some nasty basements down there that really the best way to take care of it is really to just say, you know what, I'm doing it. I'm going to excavate around this sucker.
Yeah.
I'm going to take care of some structural problems. I'm going to take care of some leaking problems. And while you're at it, before the backfill goes on, why not look into some Roxel, which I like.
Yeah.
For that exterior.
It's hydrophobic, so you throw it underground and it's...
Exactly. And put a few layers of that in, a couple layers, and then you've got your insulation to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But if you walk down into that basement, and it's not really a leaky basement,
mm-hmm.
it's a good poured concrete basement, it's... might have that dank smell to it, but there's no active moisture. I think that's a good candidate for
we can tackle
this from the inside,
right?
As opposed to doing stuff to the outside.
Okay, I'm with you. But what about the slab?
What about the slab?
Yeah. All right,
those idiots who built that house, they figured it's just a basement. Well, that's poor concrete.
Building needs to breathe anyway,
right? Through the ground. No, so you know, headroom. Let's talk, you know,
yeah,
right.
You have headroom issues, but
if you don't, then hey, let's go ahead. Let's put in some rigid down there and pour another slab. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think I think that's going to be part of it. And then you have the opportunity to make yourself a really dry, comfortable, livable basement. You've done it. You think about the space that you've just gained and you can feel good about. That's not going to stink and it's not going to leak or get mold.
Yeah.
That's a huge value to a house.
And another thing you can do, I mean, you could, you know, a SIP floor. You could put sleepers down, or even like a little dimple tile of some kind over the concrete, and do, you know, the shallow sips, and just have it as a, use it as a floor.
But that's cool. You were telling me about the product that you used to do that.
Oh, well, no. Well, I may have been telling you about a different product called Drycore. There's a...
Yes.
But see, that's made with... That's that pre... It's basically sheathing that's already got dimple tile to one side, and it comes in 2x2 square. You know, it's like a do-it-yourselfer kind of thing. You can put a wood floor on a concrete. But
did you like it?
Well, it's... I think it's, in concept, fantastic. In actual material, not so good, because it's like a very outgassy kind of a OSB, which I have a problem with.
Are you feeling outgassy tonight?
I'm feeling outgassy. It's the salty.
So that's it for this part of the episode. Tune in next week for more from the Green Architects Lounge podcast. A quick reminder that our music is Zelda's theme by Perez Prado, and that our views and drinking habits do not necessarily reflect those of the Green Building Advisor. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and keep up the good work.